Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Join us every Saturday for a deep discussion about the biggest stories of the week. Go behind the scenes with journalists, political figures, and newsmakers to get a unique look at our city. And also, I want to hear from you, the listener. So please send any questions, critiques, or sponsorship inquiries to my email at hsanders@wweek.com. Thank you so much and enjoy this episode of the Dive Podcast. Welcome back to the Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Great to have you in today on February 12th for episode 59 of the Dive. We've got a great show for you today. Before we get into our show, I just want to say this week's Willamette Week cover story is really awesome. You got to check it out. You know, one thing I like about Willamette Week is I see us as a very well-rounded paper. We give you breaking news headlines, investigations, profiles, culture, arts, news. And one thing we do really well is highlighting the best of Portland. And this week's cover story is 25 reasons why you should love our city. And reading it's really given me a nice pep in my step this week. I think there's a lot of headlines out there, and this episode are a lot of reasons why Portland might be struggling a little bit. And the pandemic's highlighted that. There's a lot of issues going on in our city. So it's nice just to take the time, read about why we should love our city and remember the things that make our city awesome. So go check that out. Great photojournalism, great writing. Shout out to Andy Pruitt and the whole team there. Check that out online or in print, however you want to engage with that. But we have a great show for you. It's not going to be about that. It's going to be an interview with Anthony Effinger about the biggest headline story this week, and that has to do with campaign finance reform. We'll get into that, but before that, we have a duty to bring you all the headlines, everything that happened this week. This is the 90-second newsflash. Let's begin with the governor's race. There's a politician out there that's very unpopular. Oregonians are not a big fan, and this governor's race may be a referendum on their time in office. No, I'm not talking about Kate Brown. I'm talking about Oregon's second most despised political figure, Donald Trump. But the Republicans remain tied to Donald Trump. And that's why Willamette Week spoke to a pollster who said ahead of last week, he would have bet on Stan Pulliam to be the Republican nominee, in large part because he was dominating the Trump vote in Oregon. But a Reddit stream found photos of him and his wife partaking in a swingers group a while back. That has not been amazing for him and has caused a guy named Bill Sizemore to enter the race as a Republican candidate. Sizemore lost to Kitzhaber by 34 percentage points when he ran for governor in 1998, but he likes his chances this year. We'll keep you updated, and again, a message to all of you out there, the devil works hard, but Redditors sure do work harder. Mayor Ted Wheeler has banned camping along busy roads in Portland, and this happened in large part because you and I really wanted it. The voters didn't like the roadside tents, but it's opening up a new debate about what the city is actually doing to support this community. Are we just moving them out of eyesight, or are you actually making institutional change to help these people out? Folks, this is just a 90-second news flash. We've got an episode on that for you coming down the pipe. Oregon Parks Forever is a nonprofit, and they've planted over 500,000 trees across Oregon to replace the acres of woods we lost in the wildfires. Five Guys is coming to Lloyd District. Now, you may be a fan. I'll take Little Big Burger any day of the week over them, but hey, I don't want to yuck your yum there. Meal pick of the week, check out Sunshine Noodles on Northwest Raleigh. Try the Catfish Spring Rolls and the Vermicelli Bowl. Valentine's Day is coming up. You don't want to miss. That's a great lunch spot for you. For drinks, check out Ecliptic Brewing Moon Room. They've got food carts there too, so you can take on that second specialty gin cocktail. And that's that. All the headlines, 90 seconds. Let's get to the rest of the show. Oregon is one of five states in the country that does not have campaign spending limits. One group is trying to change that. Honest Elections Oregon is looking to add a ballot measure that would limit the amount people can spend to support a candidate's election. As Honest Elections has been trying to get their measure on the ballot, they've been thwarted by Secretary of State Shamia Fagan, who claims that their ballot measure doesn't meet a certain criteria. Anthony Effinger is a reporter for Willamette Week and has been following this battle, and boy, it's getting a little dramatic, like it's turning into House of Cards type stuff. And I'm talking season one, when it was actually decent. Here's my conversation with Anthony and our discussion on the biggest news story of the week. Okay, so Anthony, in two articles this week, you detailed the beginning and middle of a battle going on right now in Oregon politics to get a measure on the ballot that would limit campaign donations. And you begin by explaining what this measure did, why it was killed by Secretary of State Shamia Fagan. Give us a second here. Explain to us why it was killed by the Secretary of State.
So last week, this group called Honest Elections Oregon got a call from Secretary of State Shamia Fagan, a lawyer in her office, and said, hey, we're giving you a courtesy call to tell you that we're going to reject the language in the initiatives that you're trying to put forth for this election year. It says in the Oregon State Constitution, and I pulled it up, an initiative petition shall include the full text of the proposed law or amendment to the Constitution. A proposed law or amendment to the Constitution shall embrace one subject only and matters properly connected therewith. All right. So that's the key phrase. Honest Elections Oregon, you did not include the text of every Oregon statute that your initiative would change.
It seems like there's confusion on both ends, because on if I'm thinking about this from the outside, it's like that's such a small hurdle to jump over if you're trying to push your ballot measure. Just get the full text in there. Why didn't they just do that? Are they now holding their heads and like, what the heck did we just do? We missed this important thing that you have to jump over this hurdle.
Yeah, I know this all seems like such a technicality, right? We're one of five states that have no limits. One of five. Right. That means that's why Phil Knight can give $250,000 to Betsy Johnson. Just write a check. Right. That's why the unions could give Shamia Fagan more than $3 million when she ran in 2020. And that is a key to this part of the story. That's where a lot of people feel like something's awry. But to answer your question, I don't know why they didn't put more of the statute in there. They felt like they had done this correctly. They had done this before. And now what they're saying is if they have to go back to the drawing board, it's going to delay these things because it is a long process. These things often go to the Oregon Supreme Court. That takes time because it's often litigated. So they're saying if they can't move forward with the language they have, we're not going to see this on the ballot.
Yeah, so I understand why the group that's backing this bill wouldn't want to start over, but it does seem a little bit like, hey, you should have figured this out. It's a small hurdle to jump over in the scheme of things. But then on the other end, do you actually think that this is a small technicality that Fagan is using as a smokescreen because she really doesn't want this bill to be passed because it would have hurt her chances if this were a bill when she was running for Secretary of State?
Right. You just very encapsulated the positions of Fagan and Honest Elections Oregon really well. That's it. Fagan is saying, listen, this is not a big deal. Just resubmit, get it right. You know, no problem. Honest Elections Oregon is saying, one, the delay would kill us for this year. And two, they say she's selectively enforcing this requirement. And they say she's doing that because when she jumped into the race in 2020, unions showered money on her. She is a well-loved candidate of the unions, and she buried her opponents in money. The other thing is the person who first raised this issue about the measure, about the initiative language, was a lobbyist for one of her donors.
It does also interest me to give Fagan the benefit of the doubt. Just because you receive money from groups, you're going to, in Secretary of State's role, you're going to have to rule on these topics. Does that now outlaw you from ruling on those topics? Because people can just throw the bag at you and just say, hey, you know, you can't rule on that fairly because of your background. It's an interesting decision.
It is.
On that field.
It is.
Go ahead.
To that point, I think one of the reasons that people want to get money out of politics is to avoid this kind of question.
So this bill would then limit contributions very significantly to about $500 per contribution for the state and then $508 for the city. I mean, there seems like there's going to be so many workarounds to that. I feel like a lot of union members are going to find $500 in their couch cushion. Like, what's going to happen there? Like, big corporations, unions aren't going to just be like, okay, well, I guess I'll make one $500 donation.
Yeah. I don't know there. But yeah, listen, we haven't had a great track record of limiting money in politics in this country. It's just gotten worse on the federal level. Right. So I don't know what's going to happen, but it would definitely be a big change. Now, you know, they already, Honest Elections Oregon already did this in Multnomah County and Portland. Right. And they were hoping to go statewide with it now. That was, you know, the next step. This isn't going to end. They're going to take the case to the Oregon Supreme Court today, and then we'll be waiting around for a ruling, and that'll be the final answer.
Yeah. And then maybe maybe the way the Honest Election Group sees it is whatever we would have done, Fagan would never have wanted this to pass. They would have always found some technicality to nix us on. Honest Election Oregon, the group that's pushing this bill, one of the spokespeople, one of the leading members, co-founder, whatever you want to call it, Jason Kefory. Any relation there to Multnomah County Chair Deborah Kefory? I mean, Kefory is not a very common, it's not a Johnson or a Smith name. I mean, there's probably only a couple of those in Oregon.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like, it's like Kennedy to Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason is Deborah Kefory's cousin. So yeah, the family is, you know, a political family.
So Honest Election Oregon, who pays the salaries of these people? Would this be something that this bill would change? Would the bill change how campaigns like Honest Election Oregon get paid for?
I don't think so. I think that if it's not a volunteer effort, it's probably nearly so. I think the Oregon League of, there's other voting groups that are involved, but I don't know their funding. I don't think it would change a lot because of the initiative.
Okay, so now Oregon's attorney general said this bill's language is okay. What did Rosenblum say? What was that discussion like?
Okay, so here's the other part of this. So after you get Secretary of State, approval, and in this case, without Secretary of State approval, the AG actually writes the titles for what you would see on the ballot. The attorney general writes that stuff. And so the question was, would the attorney general release those titles given the dispute with the Secretary of State's office? Well, lo and behold, they did yesterday, and the titles are out there now. And so that Honest Elections Oregon hailed that as a victory. They said, that's great. Now we can take any comments, any disputes over the titles that might come up and the dispute with Fagan to the state Supreme Court and get it all done at once. And we might be able to stay on track. This fight that Fagan has picked with Honest Elections mirrors very closely the one that she picked, for lack of a better word, with Nicholas Kristof, the Times, New York Times columnist who's trying to run for governor. She ruled that he was not eligible to run for governor in Oregon because he hadn't been here for more than 3 years. He voted in New York in 2020. That proved he was a resident of New York. Now, these things are also squishy. I didn't know this. These things are also squishy. You can prove residency a number of ways. It's not like, hey, if you had a driver's license here or you voted here, it's just not that easy. So her call was a call, and she said he's not eligible. So he went to the Supreme Court asking for an expedited decision, just like Honest Elections Oregon did. So now there's these two things before the Oregon State Supreme Court. And critics of Fagan would say, well, she doesn't like Kristof either because he's not the union's choice, right? He's not Tina Kotek. But, you know, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it felt like when Fagan was running for position and in the first several months to year or so of her in that role, the reporting was that she was very much about openness, honesty, transparency, letting the voters make decisions. And now it seems like she's acting more as a gatekeeper rather than being like, Kristof, yeah, you can run, but it's really up to the voters. Yeah, this bill can go out, but it's up to the voters. Is there a little bit of a challenge there? She's come down on these bills and decisions that do have connection with her.
Yeah. I think there are people out there who would say exactly that. They'd say, let's let the voters have a crack at this. Let's let the voters decide if Nicholas Kristof is an Oregonian. Let's let the voters decide if...
And they probably wouldn't.
Yeah, you're right. So yeah, that there is that. the thing to remember about campaign finance is there was another bill that gave authorities within Oregon, like the city of Portland, like the county of Multnomah, the authority to regulate campaign contributions. And that was a referendum from the legislature to the people saying, hey, do we want to do this? And it was it passed 80% to 20%. Wow. So this stuff is super popular, right? And that's, I think, what's got some people kind of irked, is they want a crack at this. And, you know, look, there's two sides to every story. She says she's doing her job. These guys say she's abusing the position, and we're going to find out soon enough. I mean, I can't, I think in like 2 to 3 weeks, maybe. So people are going to be really watching the court. I'm going to be.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. I mean, it really goes to show that when you accept money from a group, it's a sticky situation, because even if you're making the right ruling constitutionally, I'm not saying she is, but even if you really believe in the ruling, people are going to pin it on what your background is. So it's a really interesting topic. It's heating up.
It's so complicated.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. I covered business for 20 years and there's nothing as complicated as this in the business world.
Yeah.
Derivatives, no. CDOs, hedge funds, none of that.
Yeah.
This is so complicated. Keep your Oregon Constitution handy.
Will do. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye. Take care. Well, folks, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast. Join us next week for episode 60. And let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a little teaser. We are about to usher in a new era of our show. We're going to be doing something a little different. There's going to be something added to the show. So I'm not going to give it away. We're going to keep it vague, but please join us next week. Till then, stay safe, have fun, keep reading. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. We'll see you Saturday. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information on this podcast or the biggest stories in Portland, go to wweek.com and follow Willamette Week on all socials. We're doing some really cool things related to the podcast on our Instagram and Twitter. It includes giveaways, behind the scenes, etc. A lot of cool things coming your way, so give those a follow. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganibon, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. Last but not least, thank you so much to Heather Witte and AmpMusic.co for the music that you hear on this podcast. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.